closest to the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Doug McBurney is back in studio to continue our discussion of the Libyan conflict.
That's right. I told you I'd be back. But
yeah,
something of much greater social impact and import has occurred. So before we get to Libya, I do want to address the bigger issue, the death of Elizabeth Taylor.
E.T.'s gone home. Elizabeth Taylor.
I don't know if I'd put it that way.
You're saying that that's a bigger, more significance than a military operation?
Well,
I
think that as American media consumers, we've been conditioned to believe that what the government and the military are doing is like the be-all and end-all of everything in our culture.
What a great point, Doug. And you know what? I think Fox News is largely to blame for that among conservatives.
Yeah.
Fox News Channel is a 24-hour reality TV show. That's what it is. It's a political soap opera. And Republicans, they develop this addiction to a minute-by-minute, mostly utterly irrelevant obsession of what's going on and the cloture vote and who and
and
that. And
perfect example, you've got this today. They're talking about the alleged vote. I shouldn't say alleged vote. The alleged defunding of Planned Parenthood. Oh. There's a battle in the Senate. To defund Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, the alleged defunding.
So minute-by-minute reporting on Fox News and other cable news outlets of the alleged defunding of Planned Parenthood is now being held up by the alleged Tea Party candidate Scott Brown from Massachusetts.
Oh, wait, Scott Brown, wait a minute. He's going to help save the country.
What?
The conservatives all over the country.
No.
National Right to Life, all the old
I remember.
School.
And the Tea Party.
The Tea Party.
They all supported Scott Brown.
And so the alleged Tea Party. You know what? Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos.
Now that is an obscure reference that would make Dennis Miller proud.
Do you remember? Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos.
I remember. It is.
You remember where that came from?
It comes from The Simpsons.
One of the funniest things ever.
Yeah.
A commentary on politics. The director of Bob Inyart Live, the TV show, Classics, came into the studio and brought a recording. In those days, it was a VCR tape.
Yes, big, bulky, black plastic.
VHS tape. And he said to the whole crew, you guys got to see this. Doug, we got the audio on KGov. I'm going to link it to today's show.
You should. It's a classic.
It's a two-party system. Don't throw away your vote. You got to vote for somebody.
That's right.
And who were the candidates? Because really, they were aliens had come down.
It was Clinton and Bob Dole.
Yeah, that's right.
So that goes back a ways, Clinton and Bob Dole.
And so The Simpsons, there's a kid in that show, right? I don't
Bart.
Know. Bart Simpson, his father, who has a name.
Yes.
Father Simpson?
The effable Homer Simpson.
Homer.
Yeah.
Homer discovered that they're aliens.
Right.
That they had been kidnapped. They're on a spaceship. And these are two aliens.
Yeah.
Homer discovers it. And on national TV, he exposes the truth that they're aliens. And everyone is horrified. And they say, but it's a two-party system.
Can't throw away our vote.
Got to vote for somebody. And so they go ahead and vote. And the whole world is enslaved, you know?
Yeah.
And the wife. I don't remember.
Marge
says, as she's picking at a stone, you know, at a rock, she says, don't blame me. I voted for Kodos. So anyway, politics, Scott Brown, the alleged senator.
Yeah, the
Scott
alleged
Brown.
Senator with this alleged defunding of Planned Parenthood from the alleged Tea Party candidate who I don't even know. I think that the Tea Party is going to be very disappointed when his upper torso cracks open and the alien comes out like, you know, like an alien movie with the slobber and the slime everywhere.
Yeah. So, you know, with Elizabeth Taylor, I don't know why, but my whole life that I've been aware of her, I think now I have no evidence for this at all.
Okay, these are the kind of the theories I love.
Yeah, this
I live for these things.
This is normal Fox News fare.
Okay, lay it on me.
Now, I have no evidence for this, but on Judgment Day, I will not be surprised if we find out that Elizabeth Taylor actually thought she was ISIS reincarnated.
Oh, yes. Maybe a victim of method acting during her Cleopatra role back.
Yes, that she was actually an Egyptian goddess of love and romance or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know her marriages? She had a lot of them.
Seven, I believe.
Like the Gabor sisters. Remember Eva Gabor?
This, yeah.
We're speaking to another generation.
Yeah. Well,
a lot of
true.
Young people today don't know who Elizabeth Taylor is.
Well, I don't know.
Had she ever married like Michael Jackson or Muammar Gaddafi? Because they both dress the same.
She never married either one.
You sure?
But I think she married some guy twice, so.
Yeah.
I forget.
Aunt Richard Burton.
Yes.
Was she married to a homosexual?
I don't.
Because that's what got her into the AIDS fight.
Well, I wouldn't even want to get involved in that conversation.
Yeah. Was he?
Richard Burton?
Yeah.
I don't know. Back then, if they were, they kept quiet about it. It's hard to know.
And back then, if you said, is so-and-so a homosexual, that'd be like a big insult.
Oh, yeah.
Today, it'd be like a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
It's sad.
Yeah.
Which proves my axiom that the government is not the biggest influence on the culture. I think that Hollywood and music and television, aside from Fox News, just regular stupid television, has much greater influence on day-to-day life.
Well, it's probably true. Now,
than what's happening in Congress.
Now, E.T., regarding marriages, what she said about her own marriages.
Elizabeth Taylor married seven times.
She said, I would not just shack up with somebody.
That's right. She said she respected the institution of marriage.
So if she wants to show that she's committed to someone in love, she's going to marry them.
That's right.
And I remember what one of the Gabor sisters said, Eva or Zsa Zsa.
But you got Baker's dozen worth of marriages between those two.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
That every divorce led to 1 year of tears. One year. And looking in from the outside, you look at Hollywood and you might think, oh, it's such, just all a joke, you know?
Right.
But it's not a joke because it's reality.
Yeah.
All the liberals who say that marriage is just a piece of paper.
Right, just a social contract.
Well, Elizabeth Taylor, Eva Gabor, they wouldn't cry for months or a year because of a piece of paper.
No way.
Marriage is real. God instituted marriage. And when you say, I do, it changes everything.
Yeah, it does.
And even if you get a divorce, reality has now changed forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, Doug, salvation is very similar with Jesus Christ. He's standing there saying, will you trust me? Do you believe in me, my death and resurrection?
Yeah.
I died for you so that you could be forgiven and live forever. Do you believe in me? And if you say, I do, and you're sincere, that changes everything.
Changes everything, yeah.
Just like marriage, because now you have a relationship. So even in their rebellion against God, these Hollywood celebrities, they tell us a lot about reality.
They really do.
Yeah.
They really do. And so it's almost embarrassing now to bring up the conversation about Libya. But we ended yesterday's show. Yeah. I asked you a simple question before the music cut us off so rudely.
Yeah.
I said, Libya, is it a just war?
Yeah. And so here is, we debunked the camps.
The three C's.
The constitutional, the cliche, and the conservative.
Yeah.
That if Obama does it, it's got to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That we're not the policemen of the world.
Right.
Well, then nobody is. So then no tyranny or slaughter could be stopped. No genocide.
Yeah. No dictator would be restrained because he'd have no fear of ever being punished.
Right. And constitutionally, the Constitution can't tell you whether a man executed by the state of Texas was executed justly or unjustly. The Constitution can't tell you.
No.
Because what is just and unjust is true regardless of what country you're in.
That's right.
And regardless of what century you're living in.
Yeah. Right or wrong are eternal.
So they are right or wrong before God. And ultimately, on Judgment Day, if a president is being punished by God for the war that he authorized, then it was an unjust war.
Right.
And if the president or king or prime minister, if he's not being punished by God for the war that he authorized, then you would know it was a just war.
That's how we'll know.
That's how all the world will know, but the wicked, they won't care anyway. No. They'll still hate God. They'll blame God.
Well, isn't there a verse in the Bible that says every knee will bow?
Yeah.
Doesn't that mean every knee?
Yeah, they will bow.
Okay.
Right, as an outward expression of God's authority, but their heart is not going to be softened toward God.
Yeah.
They'll hate God, even in hell.
I think you're right.
So, Doug, let's talk about Libya. You asked, is the military action in Libya justified? And I believe because Muammar Gaddafi has murdered Americans, he has funded terrorism, he is responsible for terrorist acts that have killed hundreds, and he has systematically slaughtered some thousands of his own people,
right,
that it is justified for another nation in the world to go in and to attempt to kill him and take down his regime. I believe that's justified.
That's where I come down. I think it is justified.
But then there's the question, is it wise?
Ah.
And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. I have some thoughts on that. Is it wise? Now, what we have going on in Africa,
yeah,
we've got Obama using the U.S. military to support the Libyan Tea Party. That's
excuse me.
This is the Libyan.
Say again,
Doug. It's the Libyan Tea Party.
Okay.
Doesn't it seem like?
When I think of the Tea Party, I think of a group of people they feel like the government has been robbing them of their liberties.
They're fed up with the government.
They cling
to their guns and their religion.
They.
They're fed up with the government and they cling to their guns and their religion and they say the government is robbing us, the taxes are too high,
right?
Our liberties are being stolen.
Some amazing similarities that I would have never thought of. That's why we listen.
Obama is supporting the Libyan Tea Party.
He's supporting the Libyan Tea Party against
they're
the tyrannical
protesting
government.
Against the government, and they're clinging to their guns and their religion. So he's supporting it over there.
Right.
And, Doug, I think that, well, the headlines are that that this very new military effort is in disarray.
Yes.
How could it be in disarray? It's just started.
Well,
we've had rescue efforts at abortion clinics that had better planning and operation. Our sign on the mountain that we put the world's largest protest sign.
Yes.
That was a well-organized paramilitary effort.
Absolutely. With military precision, it was carried out.
Yeah. And it was planned.
Yes.
Foresight.
We had an end game.
The exit strategy.
Had an exit strategy.
It was all coordinated.
I didn't anticipate the dizziness and the throwing up in the exit strategy, but that was okay.
Hey, the fog of war. but Doug, the headlines, do you have any of them? I have a few.
Well, there's a number of, apparently there's some tension with between our military leadership and our friends over in Britain. The French are saying we're not at war. Obama says
the Germans have pulled forces out of NATO.
Yeah, they're going to pull forces out of NATO. Obama said that Gaddafi must go, but then the general in command said I could see him staying. I don't know what's going on.
The Libyan coalition has fallen apart, according to Drudge headlines.
So the Arab League that initiated this whole thing, they're not so much on board anymore.
They said, hey, wait a minute. We didn't know you were going to bomb anybody.
Yeah, right, right. And of course, the Russians and the Chinese are not happy. They abstained and basically allowed it to happen, but now they're expressing their discomfort,
Doug,
over the whole thing.
Yesterday, we're watching. My wife Cheryl and I were watching the reporting.
Yeah.
And there are these Muslims who are the rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And they're shouting, Allah Akbar! Allah Akbar!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Allah Akbar.
And that's not a friendly thing to shout.
No, that's a jihadist thing.
That's what they said right before they cut off Daniel Pearl's head on that video. They were shouting that.
Right. And so, Doug, and so I said to Cheryl, you know, the Libyan Tea Party seems like it's got a lot of Al-Qaeda supporters.
Seems like. Well, did you see the reports on there were protests last Friday in Iran against Ahmadinejad and the regime there in Iran? And the two most popular things being shouted in the square and being tweeted on Twitter were death to America and death to Israel. And those are the good guys.
I
mean, we know Ahmadinejad's the bad guy.
I know what you mean. The protesters are the good guys, right?
The protesters are the good guys.
That's according to the superficial analysis of many in the media. And so the protesters are the good guys. And the two, what are the two most popular tweets out of
Death to America, number one.
Death to America.
Followed up closely, but to death to Israel being the number two.
Yeah.
Being shouted from the streets and tweeted on Twitter.
It's good to be number one, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, at least.
So, Doug, we have the situation where when you support the protesters, you could easily be supporting Islamists who want to take control so they can use their bombs and their military to attack Israel.
Yes.
And to fund Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood and the Egyptian Brotherhood.
So there's a significant chance that if you give the Muslim people the democratic choice, that they'll choose death to America, death to Israel, Islamists, put the Islamists in charge.
Right.
But maybe someone besides Ahmadinejad, because he's already stole too much of their money and all of that. You know, I told my daughter when she asked why there was a war going on in Egypt, I said, because in Muslim countries, the older men keep all the women and all the money, and eventually the younger men get fed up and there's an uprising and it's pretty much as simple as that. But now you're going to kick out the guy who stole your women and your money, but who's going to come and take his place? Mm. It looks ugly if they get their democratic choice.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not so sure I buy into the whole democratic theory in the Muslim world.
No, remember we had a war to make the world safe for democracy?
Yes, a world war.
Well, there is no way to make the world safe for democracy.
No.
That's like making the streets safe for mainlining heroin. There's no such thing.
Yeah, that doesn't follow.
There's democracy, authority flows downhill from God. And if people have authority over the government, it's like everybody is a chief and they're no Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Are you allowed to say that these days?
I don't think so, but we'll let it slide.
They're no Indians?
That's very racist.
Chief?
I don't think they have chiefs in India.
I'm talking about Indiana.
Well, that's even
worse. And the Atlanta Braves.
Okay. That's even way worse.
Okay.
Don't bring up the Cleveland Indians.
So, Doug, if everybody thinks that, well, the governing officials, they're my servants, they have to obey me.
Yeah.
It's just madness. And people want to, like Bill Clinton, a majority approved of his performance.
Yeah.
And, see, people want to steal and fornicate and lie. And so they will put lying, thieving fornicators in high government office because Bill Clinton made people feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
They think, well, I cheat on my wife.
And I lie.
I lie. I steal. So, hey, I could become president one day.
Yeah. It's sad.
So democracy, there is no such thing as making the
world
safe.
Let me ask you
this. Democracy.
Is it possible that the leading conservative minds in the Western world put they value democracy more than
above justice and freedom. That's what they do.
There you go. More than right and wrong, justice, liberty.
Yeah, because by democracy, you could have socialism. In fact, that's what Europe has.
Yes,
they elect socialist governments. That's what we're doing here in this country.
Yeah.
We elect Republicans who are fundamentally socialist.
Yeah.
And they give us socialist healthcare systems. And the Democrats do that, too. And so you could have democracy bringing about socialism and communism.
But because it was done democratically,
then it must be okay.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the folks on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC all hold to the same idea that as long as it's brought about democratically.
Which is insane because World War II... Do you remember that Germany had a monarchy?
Yes, the Kaiser,
And then they remember the Weimar Republic?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they had a Weimar Constitution.
Yeah.
And they instituted democracy.
Right.
And so Hitler and the National Socialists, they ran for office, and the Nazis, that stands for National Socialists.
Left wingers.
Yeah. The Nazis they got a plurality of the vote. Hitler became chancellor. He got about the same percentage of the vote that Bill Clinton got when it was a three-way race. You remember that?
I remember you pointing that out, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Not to draw any parallels between Adolf Hitler and Bill Clinton, but just the mathematics of it all was rather interesting.
Yeah.
So it was democratic.
Yeah, that was democratic. And then once in power, then they consolidated their power, the National Socialist, through other than democratic means.
Yeah.
But it was democracy that put the National Socialist on the game board.
That's right. Got them into the game, got their foot in the door, got their jackboot in the door, so to speak.
Yeah.
And from which point, well.
Do you remember? So speaking about Libya, and is it just, and then is it wise?
Is it? Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because I have no problem with striking Gaddafi or Ahmadinejad or Hamas or Hezbollah or that little weasel, King Abdullah in Jordan, or even Kim Dong-il in Korea, North Korea. I think any one of those could be justified. But would a wise leader allow himself to be carried into a war by the tide of a UN resolution? And now he's in a conflict that's not in a time and a place of his own choosing, but he's just following the whims of an international body.
Yeah, and I think Obama was manipulated. I think he's a shallow human being. I think he was manipulated. I think his attentions were elsewhere.
Margaritas in Rio, maybe?
Right.
Possibly, right?
Yeah, he's going to South America for a vacation.
He's got
to
take the girls sightseeing.
You got Japan, the earthquake and the tsunami, which, by the way, we, in a debate with a leading geophysicist, and he said, well, should we be giving the governments greater warning for earthquake danger?
Well,
and
we
said,
so.
Of course. He said, well, if you're right, we should be giving greater earthquake warnings.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we are right. The Bible tells us a lot about the stability of the crust of the earth, and yet it's not been sitting here for 4 billion years, by which time it'd be nice and settled by now.
You would think.
And since then, 620,000 people have been killed by earthquakes.
Wow.
So Obama's got all that.
He's got a lot going on.
He looks like he's uninvolved with the Japanese crisis.
Yeah.
And then Libya is a mess. And remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke? You remember, could you think of the verse that I'm thinking of? No?
You'd have to refresh my memory.
With a tower? You talked about building a tower.
Oh, if a man is going to build a tower, does he first not count the cost?
Right. Sit down and see if he has enough money to finish it.
Have a plan, yeah.
Well, warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we here at Bob and Yurt Live know that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered.
Thank you very much.
So, Doug, the FCC requires.
Yes, I know.
So, Doug, in Luke 14, the Lord said, what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000?
Mm. Wow.
So, and he says, if there's still a great way off, you send a delegation and you ask conditions of peace.
Right.
So now Jesus is also talking about building a tower and all, but he's making an analogy there toward being committed to God. When you make a decision for the Lord, you put your hand to the plow, don't look back.
Right.
So when Jesus or anyone in the Bible is teaching and they make an analogy, you have to be careful to not turn the analogy into a matter of absolute right and wrong.
Doesn't necessarily have universal application.
No, like it's not always wrong to start a building before you're certain that you're going to have all the funds to complete it. Sometimes that's part of your business plan.
Right.
And it may or may not go well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not fundamentally immoral to, but these are matters of wisdom and rules of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to, so the first thing is it justified to kill Gaddafi?
Yes. I would do it myself if I were asked.
It's justified.
It's justified, absolutely.
Is it wise for us to start a military action where we really don't have a plan? It's a cockeyed alliance.
Well, the only sure thing is that we have vowed not to lead. That's the only concrete statement from this administration.
We vowed not to lead. In fact, Britain is being rebuked by the U.S. after the U.K. said, well, maybe we're going to try to kill Gaddafi.
Oh, that's right. And we got upset about that.
Yeah, the defense secretary got all twisted, tweaked out.
Well, when the president of the United States says someone must go, I mean, that implies that all options are on the table. I would think. It implies that. One might infer that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the British might have inferred that.
Yeah, I'd say. Hey, Doug, the French have said, all right, we have a no-fly zone.
Yeah.
There's nobody in charge. We propose that we establish a political committee to oversee the no-fly zone. Now, this is reminiscent of Vietnam. And remember, you could bomb the north side of the bridge, but not the south side of the bridge?
Oh, this is like a bad HOA meeting. This is terrible.
Yeah, that's really good.
So we've established that any nation would be justified in removing Gaddafi by even means of deadly force. But what would be the wise?
What would be wise? Well, we have the problem of not knowing who the rebels are or assuming that they're very pro-Islamic extremism.
Yeah, they're Allahu Akbar all over the place. We know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. Some people have said because here in America we have abortion.
Yes.
We have.
I've heard that argument.
Yeah, we don't have the moral capital. And That's the best argument.
Mm.
But, Doug, you know, the Roman Empire was wicked.
Yes.
It was evil, and yet it executed two criminals beside Jesus.
Yeah.
And the Bible says they were executed justly.
That's right.
So even a crime family, say you're the godfather.
Yeah.
And somebody's broken in to kill one of your kids. You still have the authority to use force to stop them and to save your kid. Or to save your neighbor's kid.
Right, right.
And if the Soviet Union apprehended and convicted murderers.
That's just.
That's just.
It's good, even.
It's like Colorado in the U.S. arresting suspected kidnappers. That's not unjust.
No.
Even though we have blood on our hands, there's still, while you're operating, you could still enforce justice.
Mm-hmm.
So that argument is also invalid.
Yeah.
So it's the bottom line for me is that it's justified and it appears to be unwise.
That's fairly clear and simple analysis. We're not going to get a whole soap opera out of that analysis, Bob. I'm afraid, you know, if we want to do four segments on the afternoon on Fox,
yeah,
it'd be hard to draw that out into an hour.
Could
and
you
half,
imagine but... 12 hours? 12 hours, and there are people who have it on all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you can DVR it now.
It's an addiction, Doug.
Yeah.
It is an. It's like it's the evening soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
Or 24-hour soap opera. But it's like they have a general hospital.
Yeah.
And in the evening, apparently, they have a general hospital at night in prime time.
Oh, yeah.
Called House.
Okay.
Now, that's from what I could tell, it's. Soap, it's a soap opera, but the Fox News Channel is a 24-hour reality show that's made conservatives addicted to TV soaps.
Yeah, and it's conditioning people to think seriously that what the government does or is doing is the most important thing in the daily life of Americans.
It's the end-all and the be-all.
It's not. It's about what you do every day, the choices you make, and especially your choice for Jesus Christ.
Wow. Thank you, Doug McBurney. It's great to have Doug in studio.
Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome. Our website is KGOV.com.